welcome to this first of my topic introductions in the Religion Bites series. I'm Mallory Nye, and in this session, we're going to explore the question of what is religion? What is it all about, and what do we mean by the term religion? Well, one thing to ask before we start exploring this is, does it really matter? Surely we know what religion is. It's just there. Whether we like it or not, it is everywhere. And as I've been trying to stress in setting up this Religion Bite series, it is worth accepting that religion is part of the world in which we live. We can't ignore it. We need to live with it around us. And so the real challenge is to try to understand it a bit better. And that is why it's worth taking just a few minutes to reflect on the idea of what is religion. What is it, the thing we call religion? What are the meanings we give to the word religion? How do we use it when we talk about religion, say, in the classroom, in books, or in our daily lives? If we start off asking this question, it gives us the chance to try to understand what we are talking about and also what we are not talking about. The usual way to explore this is to put a definition on the term religion, that is, to try and define the word. In other words, a definition is saying that religion is X, Y, and Z, and possibly not other things, A, B, and C. So we might start by saying religion is about God, worship, and morality, and not about chewing gum, being nasty, and having answers to everything. Most definitions are a bit more sophisticated than this, but it is a starting point. We need to have specific ideas about the X, Y, and Z about our definition, what makes something religious. And this is where the complications start, because different writers and different approaches tend to choose different elements to mark out what religion is about. Most obviously, sociologists tend to emphasize that religion is about social things, about society, while psychologists tend to emphasize instead religion as being rooted in psychological issues. That's hardly surprising. And equally obviously, people of faith and writers with faith, such as theologians, tend to emphasize some element of the divine, the sacred, the mystical, or spiritual element of religion, which may be harder to find in a definition used by a sociologist or a psychologist. Okay, so if we want to understand religion, we need a definition to help us get started. And so which definition is most helpful? What defines the topic of religion best? Usually people will start their definition by referring to gods, that religion is part of humanity that relates to belief in or worship of God or gods. We may call this theistic belief, deities, divinity, or plain simple God or gods. This may seem simple and obvious, but as many people have pointed out, what do we do with religions, things that look like religions, that do not have clear ideas about God or gods? The classic example here is the Buddhist traditions, which broadly do not have specific ideas of deities in the way we would recognize as such. Where do they fit in? How easy is it to have religions without gods? There might be other things, such as beliefs, practices, texts, much of the substance of what we expect of religion, but no actual gods. And if we say that God doesn't have to be part of religion, then can we have non-theistic religions, or even atheistic religions, such as Marxism or communism, which may have all the trappings of religion, but without the actual God thing? Going back to Buddhism, the term that we may find more appropriate for pinpointing its religiosity is spirituality rather than God or gods. For example, one definition of religion dating back to the 19th century is Tyler's, which said that religion is about belief in spiritual beings. The term spirituality is commonly used nowadays in association with religion, often in the context of saying that spirituality is something that everybody has, regardless of whether or not they are religious, and that religion somehow formalizes and institutionalizes this, and puts structure and meaning onto people's spirituality or spiritualities. It could even be argued that religion contains and controls spirituality. In this way, perhaps, we can say that each religion has its own spirituality. For example, Christian spirituality, Jewish spirituality, Sikh spirituality, and so on, and that such spirituality is the heart of what we consider to be religion. What this leads us to, though, if we say that religion is formal spirituality, is the need for a further definition. That is, what do we mean by spirituality? Is that any easier to define than religion? Probably not. In fact, there is more consistency in attempts to define religion than definitions of spirituality. So perhaps we need to broaden this out further and say that religion is generally about the sacred, about ways in which humans think about, deal with, and encounter the sacred. This sacred may not necessarily be God, but is something that may or may not exist beyond the human. Sometimes this is put in terms of superhuman entities. For example, in the 1970s, the anthropologist Melford Spiro said that religion is an institution consisting of culturally patterned interaction with culturally postulated superhuman beings. This definition, like we saw with the idea of spirituality, puts a lot of emphasis on the cultural experience and institutionalization of the idea of superhuman beings. It also hedges its bets by talking about them as postulated, i.e. not necessarily real. Going from superhuman to sacred, there is the approach most associated with the writer Mircea Eliade, that viewed the existence of the sacred as the object of worship within religion, and religion as being largely structured around manifestations of this sacred, in various ways, such as in symbols, myths, and rituals. In such a view, religion is a universal characteristic of humans, which manifests itself in various ways, structured around the experience, in many different cultural forms, of this sacred that most likely exists beyond the humans, according to this viewpoint. But this again requires us to think about and try to understand what we mean by the sacred. Is it something that exists in itself beyond humanity, or is it something that comes from humans themselves? If we say that the sacred is beyond humans, then can we prove this? Or is it a matter of faith, belief, or theology to say this? It is certainly the case that someone with a religious faith is more likely to say that religion is about a transcendent or superhuman sacred, whereas a non-religious, agnostic, or atheistic person will most likely deny such a view. For example, it might be easier to say that ideas of the sacred are projections from the human experience onto something else, either from social experiences or psychological experiences, as we'll look at soon. The question here is whether the sacred is real in itself, that it exists in the same way that stars, protons, quarks, and DNA all have an existence that is independent of humans. Or is the sacred something that comes from within humans, in some way or other? As we found earlier, one of the problems with talking about religion in this way is that the term sacred might be too general and inclusive. We might feel comfortable saying that a church is sacred, a piece of land, a text, an artifact, or a certain type of experience. But there may be other things that manifest something special and sacred that we are not used to talking about as religious, such as a sports stadium, a public persona, such as Elvis Presley, or a particular book. These all may have a sacredness about them, even though they are not religious. Could we even push this further and say forms of sport are religious in some way, such as football or baseball, because they have this specialness, this sacredness, or even superhumanness about them? In answer to this, I'm not saying yes or no. What I'm stressing instead is that this is a starting point. If we say that religion is about sacredness, then we have to understand that what we think about in these terms is not altogether clear. If we just say that only certain forms of sacredness are religious, those that are associated with religion, then this is just circular. We are saying certain religious things are religious because they are religious. That doesn't really get us anywhere. An alternative to this may be that religion is about faith, a special kind of activity, a special form of experience, feeling, or even knowledge. Faith can be said to be a special element of human life, an inclination towards piety, towards devotion, an inclination that is directed to something that may exist beyond the human, to the sacred or to God. The writer W.C. Smith has summarized this in saying that faith is what people do with their religion, whilst the religion they have can be called their cumulative tradition, in a sense the whole baggage of culture, society and religion that each person grows into and impacts on their faith, and their faith in turn impacts on the cultural tradition they are part of. From a quite different angle, sociologists of religion, particularly classical sociologists, have looked to understand religion by relating it to the relationships between people from the societies that they are part of. We can perhaps understand how people are religious by looking at their social relationships. The early 20th century writer Emile Durkheim has been very influential in this respect. He argued that religion is a social activity. It comes from people trying to understand what it means to be social beings. Religion in this view comes from social interactions. It is the glue or the cement that helps keep social groups together. Durkheim defined religion as a unified system of beliefs and practices relative to sacred things, i.e. things set apart and forbidden, beliefs and practices which unite in one single moral community called a church, all those who adhere to them. Religion therefore expresses human understandings of transcendence, the sense of which comes from each other, from being together, not from some alternative or superhuman reality. And in expressing that, and having rituals that bring people together, it keeps the society as a whole together. A quite different social scientific perspective looks not at society itself as the explanation or the root of religion, but what occurs within the human mind, that is, religion as deriving from human psychology. There are a number of psychological explanations or definitions of religion, ranging from Freudian psychoanalysis to more cognitive-based approaches. For example, for Freud, religion came from basic human projections, very largely stemming from the process of human development, of boys into men, disregarding female development, and the need to project the image of the father onto an external reality. More recent psychological approaches have looked instead at cognitive processes, of how the brain works in trying to make sense of the world around us. In many respects, they put forward an argument that the brain requires religion to make meaning. We are hardwired by our anatomies to find gods, deities, and superhuman realities in the spaces that we do not understand. We don't just see random patterns, but instead put together realities based on faces in the clouds and the gaps of our cognitive understanding. A final area of definition is that religion is more than one thing, that it, in fact it is a combination of elements made up of beliefs and practices. That is, beliefs in certain ideas related to sacredness or gods or spirituality or the superhuman. And also practices, specific, special practices that are considered important, sacred, or transformative. Rituals, for want of a better word, things such as prayers, going to special gatherings, or conducting special life passages related to births, deaths, marriages, and so on. These practices embody and help to put beliefs into lived experiences. One example of this broad collective approach is the well-used definition of the American anthropologist Clifford Geertz, who argued in the 1970s that a religion is a system of symbols which acts to establish powerful, pervasive, and long-lasting motivations in men and women by formulating conceptions of a general order of existence and clothing these conceptions with such an aura of factuality that the moods and motivations seem uniquely real. Each of these definitions might give us something to think about in relation to pinning down what we mean by the term religion. None is straightforward and simple enough on its own, so perhaps we might want to bring together a definition that includes all of the above, and something along the lines of Geertz's long-winded and extensive definition. Or perhaps a family resemblances approach to defining religion, saying that a particular instance of religion might not include everything, but is made up of a set of characteristics shared across different religions. A family's characteristics may vary across its members, some having a particular shape of nose or mouth or ears or colour of hair or eyes, but they all together make up a set of resemblances that compose the family as a whole. Likewise, we may say that some religions may emphasize spirituality or sacredness or the social element, and so on, but all are made up of similar characteristics. Religion is not reducible to one or two elements, but varies across different family members. This ties in perhaps with the approach of the scholar Jonathan Z. Smith, the original Jay-Z, who cited a list by another scholar of 50 different attempts to define the concept of religion. What this told us, said Smith, is not that religion cannot be defined, but rather that it can be defined with greater or lesser success more than 50 ways. This doesn't mean any of those definitions are false, but rather there are so many different ways we can talk about what we call religion. What is often mentioned here is the old Indian proverb of the blindfolded men trying to determine what an elephant is. Without being able to see the whole, they each describe the part they touch. The tail is a rope, the leg is a tree, and so on. Whatever definition we may find most useful, there are many other ways of saying what religion is when we pan out to try and see the larger whole. It is not necessarily important how we define religion or what we include in our definition. What is more important, in fact, is how we construct our definition, how we ask the questions about what we mean by religion. As I will talk about in more detail later in the Religion Bites series, the most important thing is to ask not so much what is religion, but why and how we choose specific issues, and even why we talk about this thing called religion itself. As the writer Talal Asad has put it, there cannot be a universal definition of religion, not only because its constituent elements and relationships are historically specific, but because that definition is itself the historical product of discursive processes. I'll explain that definition a bit later on.